Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, He is your Savior, isn't He? He came to be. He wants to be. He will be if you ask Him. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, you may have started this day out lost, headed for a Christless eternity, but you could do like I did April 23rd, 1974. You can end the day, friend, listen, saved and on your way to heaven. When I woke up that morning, I was blind. When I went to bed, I saw. I woke up that morning, I was lost. When I went to bed that night, I was saved. I woke up that morning on my way to a devil's hell, and I went to bed that evening. Thank God I was saved, and you can be too. If you'll believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible said thou shalt be saved. You got to admit you're a sinner. You got to realize that, friend. You got to go to God in a broken spirit, broken and a contrite heart. That's all important. Well, look, salvation's always important. Salvation messages are always, friend, on time, but that's not the message that I have today. I've opened my Bible to the book of 1 Thessalonians right after Colossians, right before 2 Thessalonians, and I'm going to share with you the message that I believe, the best I can discern, God has laid on my heart. Friend, listen, we're living in amazing days and times. Do you know that? I mean to tell you, we're living in amazing days and time. And I don't know about you, but I believe the Lord could come just at any minute. I believe that. In fact, the Word of God teaches the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Here, what do you mean imminent, preacher? Well, I didn't say immediate, but I did say imminent. And I believe, oh, I believe that Jesus could come just any day. I believe that with all of my heart. And I'm looking for Him. The question is, are you? The question is, are you? And if you're not, you know what? David's going to sing a song before I preach the message I believe God has laid on my heart out of the book 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Debbie's going to sing about get ready. You get ready, friend. If you're not, you can get ready in a heartbeat. I'll tell you how at the end of the message, but come to Him right now. He'll know what to do with the seeking sinner. Enjoy.
Get ready for the trumpet. Get ready for the sound. When Jesus calls us, we'll not be around. Now it could be tomorrow, but it could be today. So get ready for the trumpet when He calls us away. I have heard the story about
I love that. I'll tell you, it's one of my favorite songs that my beloved has done, and she's done some beautiful ones. But friend, listen, I'm happy to tell you, to testify today, to rejoice in the Lord, that by the grace of God, I know I'm ready. I know my sins are under the blood. I know my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I've got the witness of the Spirit in my heart, as John speaks about in the first letter that he wrote in chapter 5. And if you don't know those things, I beg of you, I plead with you, listen to the place that you know you're ready. Jesus is coming, and I believe he's coming soon. You say, preacher, he may not come for 100 years. Well, that is possible, but let me tell you something. In comparison to all the time of eternity, 100 years is soon. Look, friend, I've heard it all my life, but it's never been more true than it is at this moment in time to tell you that Jesus is coming. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Word of God says, Paul writing to this church that he founded, friend, spent 3 Sabbaths there and did an absolutely remarkable work, taught them the greatest doctrinal truths that there is in the entire Word of God. He just did a Herculean, spiritually speaking, task at Thessalonica. And he said, look, he said, our gospel came unto you not in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance as we made known unto you what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Listen, pay attention to that phrase. Having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples of all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place where your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. What a great testimony about a church. What a great testimony about a church. Listen, friend, it made the Apostle Paul's missionary work a whole lot simpler, because this group of Thessalonica, when they got saved, they began to let people know that they were saved on the way to heaven, and how they got there and how they became saved. For they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And listen now, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now watch this. I read all those to get to this. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ, which delivered us. Watch this phrase, prepositional phrase, from the wrath to come. Now here's my text today. Here's what I'm going to preach about for just a little while today. I want to talk about this statement. You decide for yourself. You say, what do you mean, preacher? What do you want me to decide upon? Well, I want you to decide for Jesus. I really want you to. I want you to know Him as your Savior. I want you to know, friend, that you've been washed in His blood, that you've been born again. I want you to know that more than anything else that I could say unto you. But listen, friend. You'll have to decide if you're saved. If you're saved, listen, you'll have to decide what you believe about the second coming of Christ. What you believe about His coming. Why is He coming? What will happen when He comes? Will the church go through the tribulation? Will the church leave before the onset of the tribulation? Will the church go through half of the tribulation? Will the church go through all of the tribulation? When are we, as believers in Christ Jesus, going to check out of here? Now look, if you're saved, say amen. If you've been saved any time at all, you ought to know about the coming of Christ. You ought to know about the second coming of Christ. It's one of the most profound doctrines there is in the entire Word of God. It is one of the major doctrines of the Word of God. You'd be surprised, maybe some of you, about how much the Old Testament makes reference to the second coming of Christ as opposed to the first coming. Now look, the Word of God speaks a lot about His first coming. Every prophecy about the first coming was fulfilled. Let me tell you what I believe. Every prophecy about the second coming of Christ, whether it's Old Testament or New, is going to come to pass. And in the New Testament itself alone, there are 260 chapters. If you've heard me preach any time at all, you've heard me quote these statistics. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament, from the book of Matthew through the book of the Revelation. And in those 260 chapters, there are no less than 318 references to the second coming of Christ. I've read them multiple times. And you know what I believe? I believe Jesus is coming again. Now look, you have to decide for yourself when He's going to come from you. But let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let the Word of God speak for me. Is that okay? I've been reading this morning. I've been researching. And I'll be honest with you. I feel sorry for a lot of folks. I feel sorry for the Reformed crowd. I'm talking about the Calvinists that believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation. You know what the tribulation is for? Everybody listen to me. Listen right now. It is a prophecy of Daniel. It is a prophecy concerning the nation of Israel. Prophecy concerning the Jew, the chosen of God, the elect. When you go to the book of Matthew chapter 24 and you hear Jesus talking about the tribulation, verse 21 of chapter 24, He calls it the great tribulation. None like it before, none like it will ever be after. You know, friend, what the context of that passage of Scripture is about? Or more than that, who it is written to, the population, the group of people, that it's going to affect more than anybody else. The Jewish world, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, and all, yet people think, friend, listen, the church, the bride of Christ, is going through that awful time. The Word of God talks about and refers to as being the tribulation. So look, you make up your mind, but here's what I've decided. Bless God, I've decided that when the first busload goes out, I'm getting on it. Amen. I like what David Cook, that great man of God, said long ago, and I've quoted him many times. He said, when I hear the toot, I'm going to scoot. Hey, friend, I believe when we begin to look at the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you'll find that Paul's theme for Thessalonians was the rapture of the church. You'll find that Paul's theme for 2 Thessalonians was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And they're real, friend. They're different in the rapture. In the rapture of the church, in the snatching away, in the harpazo, in the fulfillment of the type of Enoch being snatched up when he walked with Jesus and was not because God took him. Can I tell you, friend, listen. Can I tell you, we're going up to meet the Lord. We're going to leave planet Earth in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord at the rapture. At the rapture, friend, we're going to meet the Lord in the air, the Word of God says. So the revelation, He's coming back, according to the book of Zechariah, had to planet Earth. And matter of fact, Zechariah says, His feet shall stand again on the Mount of Olives. Hey, friend, I want you to know something. We ought to make a difference, for the Word of God makes difference, and the Word of God makes a clear difference about the rapture of the church and the revelation of Jesus Christ. When He comes in the rapture, He's come as a thief in the night. When He comes in the revelation, the Bible clearly says, every I shall behold Him. So you decide. You decide for yourself, friend, what you believe. I've decided, and listen to what my text verse says. Paul says, now here's what the Thessalonians did after that they got saved, after that they turned to God from idols. They were to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us. Now listen to this. It doesn't say through the wrath to come. It doesn't say in the wrath to come. How about it says, from the wrath to come. Oh, listen, friend, if anybody knows anything about the book of the Revelation, you know in chapter 1, I believe it is verse 18 or 19, that Jesus gives the outline of that great and amazing prophetic book. He said to John, write the things that thou hast seen. That's what he saw on the Isle of Patmos in chapter 1. The things that are, that's what John wrote about in the letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, and to the things that shall be hereafter. That begins in verse 1 of chapter 4. When John, I believe, and some people don't believe this, I feel sorry for them. I get excited about it every time I think about it. I believe John has a representation of the church. Bless God, when he said he heard the voice of a trumpet, looked up and saw a door opened in heaven, heard a voice say, I come up hither. And he said immediately, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You know what he did? He was taken to heaven, saw a throne sitting, and he began to see a sight and a scene that was out of this world. Now I want you to know something, friend. The Word of God in the book of Revelation rightly divides its own self. It breaks it up, friend, in three different segments. And look now at the end of the church age. At the end of the church age, before Daniel's 70th week of prophecy comes to pass, which is for the Jewish world. Listen, friend, to what the Word of God says. There is an increment of time that we're seeing things in heaven in chapter 4 and 5. And you know who's there? If you read into that chapter, down about, oh, I'm not looking. If you read the whole chapter, I don't know, about verses 8, 9, 10, 11, somewhere through there, you'll see that not only do the four beasts bow before him that sits on the throne, but you'll see the 24 elders, bless God, who are clothed in white raiment, who are crowned with many crowns, and they'll fall at his feet. They'll lay their crowns at his feet and declare that he that sits on the throne is worthy to receive glory and honor. If you read on, you'll see a scene in heaven that's remarkable. You'll see the Lamb and the Lion, and then you'll see a multitude. I listen, bless God. You'll see a multitude that has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Glory, hallelujah. Begin to give him praise and honor and glory that they had been redeemed. But all, when you step out of chapters 4 and 5 into chapter 6, let me tell you what you find. Bless God, you'll find the seven seals, the first of the seven seals opened up, which brings up the judgment of God on planet Earth. Those seven seals open up the seven trumpets. Those seven trumpets open up the seven vials of the judgment of Almighty God that's going to take place on the earth. But you decide. You decide for yourself whether you're going to be here or not. Listen to what he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, again, verse 10. He said, delivered us from the wrath had to come. Boy, the more I read that, the more I like that. Do you hear me? I like that, friend. Thank God. Listen to what he said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, let me get chapter 4, the last verse in chapter 4, and a verse here in chapter 5. I've got a couple of verses I'm going to get out of here. After Paul, beginning in verse 13 down through verse 18 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, begin to explain the rapture, the snatching away, the harpazo of the church. You said, preacher, the word rapture isn't in the Bible. I know that. The word Trinity isn't in the Bible, but I believe that. Do you? The word Bible isn't in the Bible, but I believe that too. Do you? Hey, listen, friend. Listen, we can think some of the silliest things to say, to try to deny the undeniable truth of the Word of God, but you decide for yourself. I know what I believe. This is what he said in verse 18. Wherefore comfort you one another with these words. When the church of Thessalonica was founded by Paul. You know what? They got saved in a time of persecution when Paul left after he was there for those 21 days and went to Berea, I believe. There were people that died. The church of Thessalonica began to wonder what's going on. Have they missed the rapture? Paul talked about the rapture. Paul talked about the tribulation. And they couldn't understand what happened to their loved ones. Have they died and gone on? Have the ones that were left behind, have they missed the rapture? Were they in the tribulation period? But look, Paul said this. Paul said, now look, I want you to comfort one another with these words. That's what he said in verse 18. In verse 18 of chapter 4. And I don't see it right off, but I know it's there. It is in verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another also as you do me. You say, how could they do that? Paul said, listen, Paul said, no need of my writing to you concerning the times and the seasons. Bless God, he said, I've instructed you. I've told you about those things. Listen to what he said, and the reason why he said that in verse 9. He said, for God, he said, comfort ye one another. That's what he said in verse 18 of chapter 4, verse 11 of chapter 3. He said, or chapter 5, wherefore comfort ye one another. Listen to that. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going out of here, friend, listen, when the trumpet sounds. We're going out of here, bless God. Now when Jesus returns with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, the dead of Christ are going to rise. We're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And bless God, we're going to gather together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Now, friend, listen, there's more scripture than what I've given you today. I've just looked in two little books of the New Testament. Matter of fact, I haven't even stepped in the book of 2 Thessalonians yet, but I better. Hey, listen, as Paul was gone, there was a letter that bore his name that somebody had forged about the second coming of Christ. And you know what? The Thessalonians said, boy, we've missed it. We're definitely in the tribulation. Paul said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 1 of chapter 2, by our gathering together, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed the son of perdition. Can I tell you what, friend? Listen, God has given us certain signs, certain indications of when the church is to leave. It's before many, many things. And you'll have to decide for yourself, friend, whether or not God would love His bride enough to send them through the tribulation, to send them through that time of judgment that is to come upon all the world that's left, that time of judgment that is prophetic concerning the nation of Israel, or whether or not God is going to take care of His own, those that He has saved, those that He had washed in His blood, those that He had sealed with His Spirit, those that He promised when He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if, for sense and light of the fact that I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Look, let's face it, friend. Let's face it. There'd be no comfort in my heart. There could be no comfort in your heart. There could be no comfort in anyone's heart if we knew, as saved believers, as sons and daughters of God. Hey, listen, friend, as the church that Jesus purchased with His blood would go through that awful time that is to come upon all those that live on the earth. Hey, you decide for yourself. But let me tell you again, I believe God's going to come and take us away. He's going to come for us before He can come with us. And He's going to deliver us from, not through, but from the wrath to come. And you know what? That comforts me. For that I say glory, hallelujah. And I hope you get to the place where you can say that too. Hey, hope until the next time. God blesses you and keeps you.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours. And you are